something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear.
This is Alice Wolfley with Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land, Oral Histories of Mendocino County. Today we'll hear from Donna Montag, who grew up in a wealthy Catholic family in upstate New York. She worked as a portfolios analyst on Wall Street before joining the Back to the Land movement in Elk.
My name's Donna Montag, and I was born in upstate New York, Utica, New York, 1947. I felt like where I lived in Utica, I mean, people totally knew your whole family and where you had come from, and that was like what was important as far as, you know, dating or any kind of social interaction or how people treated you. My family was wealthy, and I felt like there was a lot of dishonesty, and I went to a lot of events, and there was, you know, Vietnam War things, Martin Luther King was very involved in civil rights and all that. But I felt like that when I was with people who were protesting or talking about these issues, that they had a lot more honesty to each other and that they were really saying what they wanted, and they felt like they had a closer bond of community that wasn't like a facade. In 1969, I graduated from college and I was actually working on Wall Street, a job at Merrill Lynch as a portfolio analyst. I guess I found some of it interesting as far as analysis. I love economics, and I'm still an accountant today. But I only worked there 1 year and before I went to this commune. And at the end of the time, I felt like that it was just about making money, and there was a lot of it that wasn't telling the truth to, like, regular people. I guess I have a lot of self-confidence myself, in myself. And so, I mean, I grew up with seven brothers, and I feel like I understand men. I mean, how they work, you know, the working mind. Of course, I realized that not very many women were doing what I was doing. My job at Merrill Lynch, I felt like I was probably slightly treated differently than men, and I'm sure I was paid less. I'm sure I was. And that was kind of expected. My parents were strong Catholics, and I went to Catholic schools and grammar school, high school, and college. So I felt like my college was pretty open, but that there was a lot of dishonesty about what was right. You know, people were, of course, extremely anti-abortion, but especially about the war is when most people seem to kind of realize that our government wasn't telling us the truth, that we were fighting this for not the reasons that they were saying, that people were trying to make money off of other people, which was one of the things that I understood after I worked at Wall Street. And a friend of mine asked me to go to California, and I went with him, and he took me to a commune in Tacoma, Oregon, and I never went back.
And what were you expecting when you came to Mendocino County?
Something about living closer to the land. I mean, something about doing more for yourself, all the components of taking care of yourself. I like being outdoors. I wanted to grow my own food. I was very interested in just not having a lot of middlemen between things, like doing things myself. I don't know if I was expecting or thought about it. I was 26 years old when I moved here. So when I first came to Elk, I came as a visitor to a band, Cat Mother, that lived in Elk, and they had a bus ride on Main Street here. They were a big part of the community, but there were a lot of musicians here. Somebody offered me their house and their job, which was doing a nursery school and a cabin that was right here on Highway 1 on the ocean, for $50 a month. That's what it cost. But what was great about Elk was that it seemed like that there were old-timers that did not have prejudices against young people. There was an immediate interest in Elk in two or three different things. And one was learning how to grow vegetables and animals. So there's an old-timer here who actually gave some classes and had Back to the Landers over to his house as well, and that was Francis Fashauer. And he used to tell people, like, I don't know, you can't plant corn before May 15th, and here's six varieties that grow here, and peas only grow on the coast. And there was another person who moved here that was maybe 20 years older than us, and he actually gave real classes, like how to build a chicken coop. And I went over there with like 10 or 15 people, and he talked about how to clean it and how to get the manure out and how to scrape it and all this stuff. I think they were just interested that we were going to really grow crops and farms. So when I moved onto my 60-acre parcel that I live with other people, a huge, huge garden, and I still now grow more than half of my food. And I started out trying to grow food immediately. I mean, I was very interested in what these people were saying about what would grow here.
How did you meet your husband?
In front of the Elk store. In Elk. And he had a child who was 4 years old, and his child came to my nursery school because I was teaching in nursery school for about a year.
3 years later, their daughter was born. At this time, the idea of natural childbirth was gaining popularity, and some doctors were advocating for a natural approach to birth in hospitals. Donna was one of the first women to give birth in a hospital with her husband and stepson present, without the use of pharmaceuticals.
Yes, there weren't very many births even at the Mendocino Coast Hospital then, and then a doctor came that wanted to do kind of a home birthing thing in the Mendocino Hospital, Dr. Goodman. But yes, another book I bought, Spiritual Midwifery. I mean, this was a huge deal about how to have a baby, you know, at home and naturally. And I actually was very interested in attending births. And I attended like 7 different births and, you know, help people. But I had my child at the Mendocino Coast Hospital. And it was actually written up in a magazine, Newsweek it was in, that when I had my daughter, and I'm also in this Mendocino book, having her. It was, I think, the first or maybe the second birth at the hospital where the father participated, and there was no drugs, and our stepson was there. So there were other people in the room. I mean, everything was very different. So one thing is that we only went to Fort Bragg once a month. And you would talk to your neighbors and get a list of food and things that people needed, and you would take somebody else with you. You just were really isolated here, you know. Of course, I went to the doctor, and my doctor was, you know, a hippie. I mean, he was very wild for the Mendocino Hospital. They actually stopped doing that right after I did it, and it was in Newsweek magazine because they just got all these things from their insurance company about it was possibly not okay to have all these people in the delivery room. And then, you know, that was the very beginning. I mean, you know, and then people went back to it. But a lot of my friends had babies at home.
In terms of your family, you know, were they concerned about the way you were going to have your baby? Or what was the sort of conversation of maybe more of the straight society people that you knew?
You mean my family at home?
Yeah.
Well, my parents? Mm-hmm. They don't really have any, they had nothing to do with my life, really, when I came here. I mean, it was a choice of moving away from their lifestyle and what they were doing. I mean, of course, I talked to them. But they weren't giving me really any advice.
You're listening to Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land, Oral Histories of Mendocino County. Today we're hearing from Donna Montag of Elk.
I did not participate very much in the drug culture. I mean, I did some drugs, but I knew many, many people who did really a lot of drugs. Mm-hmm. I wanted to maintain some reality. And I wanted my kids to go to college. Mm-hmm. I didn't really want my kids to be homeschooled. Another thing that you should probably know about me, though, is I'm one of the founding members of the Jewish community here. So I think that part of the whole Back to the Land movement, people were looking for a spiritual path. They were looking for a cleaner medical path. They were looking for a cleaner eating path. My husband is Jewish. I was raised Catholic. And his parents were both, his mother was a Holocaust survivor, and his father was imprisoned in Siberia. I felt like it was very important to learn about Judaism. I read a lot of books when I was here because there was no television, there was no computers, there was radio, there was a bookmobile, though, that came to Elk, and I always went to it, and I read a lot of books, including a lot of books about Judaism, and I went to a meeting in, 1971 or something, with maybe 25 people who were interested in connecting the Jews that lived here. And one of the things we talked about at the beginning of it was, what are the things that would make this be a different kind of community than the places that we came from? And one was, never talk about money. Everyone is treated the same. It doesn't matter if you believe a different kind of Judaism. It's going to be egalitarian, and no one will know what other people contribute or do. Everyone will be welcome. So we started this community that the principle of it is, if you live here and want to be Jewish, you're a member. But the purpose of it was to try to meet with people and to have a religious service, but also to talk about issues. And people had many different opinions. I mean, there was a lot of different people here. Some people were very radical, and some people were had grown up in an Orthodox shul. It was mostly young people, but there was maybe about a quarter of the people were old. There had never been a Jewish person buried in Mendocino County, on the coast here. I don't know about inland. Ever. I think we were incorporated in 81, so that would be 40 years or something. There's been only like 3 or 4 times in all that time that anyone has argued about anything. What I was looking for since I left New York and my own family was a community that was as strong as a family connection, you know, and I feel that in my town community, and I feel that in my religious community.
Did you find the type of honesty that you felt was lacking in your community growing up and that you felt wasn't in your family?
Right. Yeah, it's a reality thing about how people really communicate and really talk to each other and really connect and support each other through, you know, whatever's happening to you, whether it's a blessing or not a blessing. Definitely.
That sounds like a real success story, a real ongoing success story.
Well, sure, I do think it's a success story. I think that the Jewish community is very strong now and has always been, but is probably stronger now than it ever was.
Do you think that there's great lessons that you've taken away from the lifestyle that you live that have impacted your life or impacted your community?
Sure, and especially impacted my children, I'd say, you know, and people that grew up here, just what's important. And I don't know, what a pleasure it is, really, growing your own food and making your own power and living lightly on the land. I think there's been a lot of pleasure in it for myself and with other people that are doing it too, you know, sharing it and having people think that it's important. It's very satisfying.
Like, do you think the Back to the Land movement on a whole was a success?
Yes, I do think that the Back to the Land movement was a success. I think that, I don't know if you connected to the hippie movement, when people's minds expanded or when they came to an awareness of other consciousness, that some people tried to figure out what was important. And so they made these choices about living closer to the earth and how important the earth is. So, yeah, I do think it's a success. I mean, if you want me to get into political, you know, I think, Donald Trump is my age, and he lived in New York near me, and I knew who he was when I was in college. And he was one of the only people who had an anti-Vietnam protest of about 8 people. And he hated hippies. And it's very obvious today, I mean, that his entire trip is just the actual opposite of everything that a hippie believed in. When I was a kid, I couldn't play sports. I didn't know any black people. There was one Jewish person, it was like labeled like she's Jewish. You had to get a job to earn money. You had to get married and live with your husband, and you may or may not be able to work after that. You had to be a housekeeper. You had to go to church on Sunday. You had to follow a religion. You had to do what other people told you. You could not think for yourself. You did not write about things that were questioning. I mean, it's completely different. You know, civil rights, women since Title IX. I mean, the whole idea of what people believe about the war, how the draft stopped. You know, many, many things. Obviously, there's some things with the government. It's still not telling us what it's really doing. You know, some things have not changed, but I think a lot more people are telling the truth.
A lot of the things, a lot of the progress that's been made, you know, since the 70s in civil rights, in women's rights, do you think these impacts of the Back to the Land movement have permeated the heartland and, you know, the Bible Belt and those parts of our culture? And do you think that the hippie and Back to the Land movement had an impact on those cultures?
So upstate New York, where I live, is a fanatical anti-abortion, kill the doctors.
Even now?
Billboards, even now. They hate us more. So there's more clarity about there is opposition. I mean, my parents are totally into Burn Roe versus Wade, but they understand that I'm on the opposite side. So they know who you are. Whereas when I grew up, there was no side. There was no opposite side. There was no united group or verbalization against it. There was nobody. I think that what hippies and Back to the Landers and people that stuck with this concept did was actually change America. I mean, I feel like they just completely changed America from the way it was when I was a kid. I'm really glad of the choices we made. And when my husband lost his vision 5 years ago, that is definitely extremely difficult to live in Back to the Land and get firewood and do a huge amount of stuff at my house of growing stuff and me go off to work. But we decided that we wanted to keep doing it. We wanted to keep trying to grow fruits and vegetables, and we wanted to keep getting wood from our own property. We wanted to stay on solar, and I enjoy it, and so does he. But it's not easy, right?
We just heard Cat Mother with the song Turkish Taffy off their album Albion Duwa. Cat Mother was central to the music scene of the Back to the Land movement on the Mendocino Coast. You've been listening to Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land Oral Histories of Mendocino County. I'm Alice Wolfley. We just heard from Donna Montag of Elk. You can hear short excerpts of this program on Thursdays during Morning Edition, and longer episodes Thursdays at 3:30 p.m. Archives of the program, along with photos, are available at kzyx.org. Promise of Paradise is supported by the National Endowment for the Humanities, California Humanities, the Arts Council of Mendocino County, the Judy Pruden Historical Preservation Fund of the Community Foundation of Mendocino County, the Mendocino Institute, Story Center, and Grace Hudson Museum.
There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's growing.